Whoa. Okay, listen, Brother Reed. Check out this solo. It's coming up. It's coming up now. Wham, bam, bam, dang, bam. Oh, that shit is so crispy. It's so crispy.
Yeah. Yes. This is what I'm talking about, baby.
Boom. Slam by.
Guys.
Don't turn on that light.
Okay. Are you guys okay?
Okay, Brother Reed, here's another tasty lick. Wham, bam, 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 bam. Hell yes.
Okay, what the grease is going on?
Look, Kalis. Pastor Andrew and I have been eating these new Crocroa daytime capsules like they're friggin' M&M's. A pop, 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 chocolatey good in the hand, not in the mouth.
We've been up for five
days, baby.
Guys. Okay, I know we play it fast and loose with the law, but the FDA made these super illegal for a reason.
Oh, come on.
No, they make your brain dry out like sandpaper. You're gonna get dry brain, you jerks.
Yeah.
Me.
I don't think those congregants in Tampa.
Oh.
I'll be taking those.
No. Give it back. Wait up. Whoa. Whoa, they say you shouldn't stop all at once. Whoa, man.
Oh, wow,
the come down hits like right away. Oh, man, I am soaking wet.
My brain. It feels dry?
I think
I'm dying.
Well, the Taurus is in the shop, and 911 said they're not sending ambulances out here anymore. So you two gotta just ride it out.
I feel like I'm gonna puke my snot out my butt.
Mr. Stranger, feel my chest. Feel it.
Whoa, my heart
is pounding.
Whoa, this is weird,
dude.
You can see
it through the shirt. I can see it. Stranger, there's a bat on you.
Whoa, it's real big. Where?
It's the Bat King. I'm gonna bow to it.
No. Just chill. I can't bow to him. I bow to no one but you. Just chill. No. We're fine. Okay, no. No, you're hallucinating, and we're cool. Weird word. Say it. Cool.
I am fucking freezing. How about a story? You know, Sister Calista?
Please.
For old time's sake. Just one? Just a touch.
She's on the top of
the grease. Tell a story on the spot. It takes preparation and time and...
Shut up! I'm seeing something. Oh, yeah, this one's no hallucination. I know this. I'm seeing the story.
A reading from the story blog, www.storyblog.com/storyblog. Written by Suds Wrinkletip, titled The Voluntary Heart. My great-grandmother was diabetic. Couldn't control her blood sugar. It would spike and drop. But even as far back as she lived, they could regulate it. She injected herself with pig insulin 3 times a day until the day her husband ran off. She skipped a dose. It was so easy. She skipped another. She fell into a coma. And 5 years later, she died. It's funny what comes back to you. I was late to my meeting with Clean Time because of a fender bender on 56th. The idiot wouldn't move out of the way, no matter how hard I honked. Honk, honk, come on. I could feel the blood in my cheeks, in my ears. I rolled down my window. Pull the fucking car over! And I honked 5 times in succession. I counted every second until the asshole hopped into his PT Cruiser and pulled the 2 feet I needed for clearance. I banged into his rear bumper and scratched the paint as I went by. In my mind, I pictured snapping the man over my knee like a twig. Inside the building, I nodded to the patchy bearded young man working the front desk. And he buzzed open the gate for me.
Good afternoon, Mr. Brandonson.
I never cared to learn his name. I cleared the distance from the gate to the elevator in four perfect strides, so my finger dinged perfectly into the elevator button. The elevator stalled. And stalled. You motherfucker! When it arrived, I stepped inside, waited for the doors to close, then kicked the interior paneling as hard as I could. I did this twice a week, and one day I would break a panel. I would blame it on Kara Lee. At the 28th floor, I stepped out, already speaking to my assistant. God damn it, Kara Lee! Go inside and load the slideshow on my laptop. Tell them I don't fucking know. Tell them my dog was sick. She was dim and slow to the punch, as usual.
Tell them you have a dog?
Christ! Just stall them, Kara Lee! She ran for the door. Wait! I shouted. She turned to face me. Do you have anything more appropriate to wear? By the time I finally entered the boardroom, the lights were dimmed. My presentation glared on the overhead. I had a mint tea with two ice cubes and a spoon of locally sourced honey stirred inside. The room was a brisk 18 degrees centigrade. The laptop volume was set to an interval of 5, playing Chopin. Kara Lee had changed into flats and a blazer. I was pleased. Chris, Charlena, thank you for your patience. My presentation today is about one word, control. I clicked through a challenging, razor-sharp presentation on synchronizing product branding in Midwestern markets. I read every word on each of the 74 slides verbatim without any additional comments. It was my greatest achievement. And then the lower right, we have a detergent packaging logo. The 50% opacity logo on a dark background is too dark. The 75% opacity logo, on the other hand, my clients, mute and emotionally vacant, absorbed my thoughts exactly as they should be seen. What I do is art. Gray backgrounds complicate the brand narrative. This requires a new Pantone color swatch. Compare Pantone 14-4506 on the left with the Pantone 15. I was glorious, transcendent, until slide 67. The instant it flashed on screen, my blood pressure spiked. God damn it, Kara Lee! I screamed internally. When she transcribed my dictums yesterday, instead of judgment, she wrote judgment with an E. An E. I was so mad I couldn't read. So the cream color background, Chris and Charlena noticed. Chris coughed, then Charlena glanced at Chris and they shared a look. Righteous fury rose from my toes to my temple. Kara Lee! I pictured breaking her hand in my desk drawer, one slam after another. I forced a confident smirk for the next slide, but I was boiling. At the final slide, Kara Lee had the nerve to look me directly in the eye. She smiled and gave me a thumbs up. I mouthed the word no and shook my head. I could see the shame bloom red in her cheeks. That's right, Kara Lee, you fucked up. And a blazer? Really? This is a meeting, not a fucking junior high graduate. Then I felt it. It was like a foot kicked inside my ribs. My heart reverberated. I had never felt it beat so acutely before. But if anything, the silence that followed was more profound. The rhythm ceased. It felt as though my next heartbeat would never come. I waited. I agonized. I pleaded. Beat! And then all was fine. The spell passed, only seconds had gone by. I finished the presentation. Clean Time voiced excitement, without a mention of my late arrival or Kara Lee's failure. I smiled and thanked them. After they left, I told Kara Lee that if she ever embarrassed me like that again, I would replace her. I went home and I ordered delivery. It was late. I complained to the restaurant. After an hour, I was able to refund my tip to the driver as well as the service fee. When I finally sat down to eat, my quote-unquote super sashimi was room temperature, inedible. I wanted to watch a film, but the batteries in my remote were low. I had to press the button 2 or even 3 times to get a response. I was so angry, I sat in silence and did not eat or engage in cinema. In bed, I rage cried for 3 minutes, just the white noise machine and the humidifier to dampen the sound. The cruelty of the universe threatened to crush my bold spirit. I counted to 10 over and over, visualizing my ideal form. I have ascended the ladder. I am golden. Clients demand me by name. I am the god of brand management. I fell asleep hot in the face, ungrateful and tense. Spittle clogged my air pipe. I woke to full body paralysis. My blood did not flow. I had never felt the weight of it all still in my veins. It pooled in my palms, settled and swelled in my feet. I could feel my lungs flat and empty, my mind slow like sinking into wet cement. All was stagnant. I'm dying. I'm dying. I'm dying! There was a silence I had never heard before, a deep hollow in my chest. My heart was still. Beat! I pleaded. Just beat! The sound of my heart deafened me. My whole body quaked from the reverberation, but my skin prickled with sensation once more. I almost died. I almost died, I thought. I almost... But as soon as relief came, the terror returned. It was happening again. The sudden stagnancy permeated my every inch, puddled blood in every extremity. Beat! Beat! I wanted to panic, but there was no time. Every time I tried to think, the silence fell. I'm having a panic. A panic attack. Thoughts of any kind were poison. They interrupted my concentration. Hard as I wanted to scream, moving my mouth broke my focus. Even this extended self-diagnosis threatened to beat. I felt the fibers of muscles in my chest. Interior chambers with no pain sensors now glared in my mind. It overwhelmed all other senses. I could not breathe. I let go of focus. Silence. Stagnancy. My vision pinholed. Beat. Beat! My heart no longer acted on its own. It ceded all control to my conscious mind. The weight crushed me. Every divergent thought from the tensing and release of my heart set it arrhythmic, shot blood painfully through me. I almost died. Every second. For hours. Terror kept me focused. Between beats, I heard my alarm blare at my bedside table. I could not rise to turn it off. I heard my cell phone ring sometime after that, again and again. I was missing an appointment. I had thrown a fit to have it scheduled today. It was at my favorite brunch spot. I kicked my legs, flailed my arms. If I hurried, I could... But just as quickly as I kicked myself from bed, the stagnancy weighed me down. I collapsed to the ground. I had missed a beat. I could feel the muscles tense and quake for the systole, then fall and echo for the diastole. I tensed my muscles, willed the command in my mind, "Rise, you can't miss!" But the moment my legs pumped, the stagnancy returned. That silence that so quickly became permanent. Any distraction meant death. The sun baked into my face as it charted the afternoon towards the western horizon. I sizzled in the heat. My phone had stopped buzzing and ringing what felt like hours ago. Outside the room, I heard keys jingling. Someone opened my front door.
Mr. Brandonson?
Carol Lee called. I wanted to shout, but even desire distracted me. Blood stalled where it sat in my body until I suppressed all thought to focus.
Eric?
I nearly lost concentration, furious at this rudely casual turn. My first name?
Guess he's not here.
God damn it, Carol Lee! I heard the front door open. If she left, no one would ever find me.
Kara!
I shouted, but was cut short. Little deaths spread through my body. Starvations in my mind. My vision went white as my pupils spread wide open. My pants grew damp as my other sphincters did the same. I seized and shook, and for all the pain and shock, I had to focus. I couldn't lose the beat. Carol Lee ran into my bedroom and saw me collapsed out of the bed, face purple and strained, features sagging. She screamed. The doctor spoke, but I said nothing.
Stroke and a coronary? No, doesn't appear to be a smoker.
The nurse kept mispronouncing my name.
This is Mr. Brandonson. He came in 6 hours ago, but still no response from Mr. Brandonson.
I started to say. I heard my monitors go flat. The nurse turned his head in concern. The beats assured him.
Brandonson is what we call catatonic.
The monitor flatlined and an alarm blared. My right arm rose up on its own accord and I spat up like an infant.
Mr. Brandonson is coding. Mr. Brandonson, stay with me, buddy.
My monitor stabilized. Hearing the beat out loud helped me. I had forfeited all life for a tempo. The nurse laughed at me.
Oh, you scared me, Mr. Brandonson.
I had assumed every bodily function, now, needed my conscious command. I was wrong. My eyes cried from pain and humiliation alone. No effort required. Night came. I pleaded for sleep. But every time I tried, I died for just a second. So I beat and beat. And if I found rest, it was on the offbeat. In the rhythm, pieces of my life returned. In a flash, I remembered. My grandfather had a mean stare. He made me cry as a child. I refused to sit on his lap. I hated him, the way a four-year-old hates the unusual and disquieting. It was decades after he died that I learned why. For Grandpa Scott, blinking wasn't automatic. He had to work for it. His whole head would bob under the effort. The coordination never quite right. He looked drunk or insane. Likely owed to this, he blinked only once every 2 minutes, then became every five. His eyes turned blurry, hard. He stopped blinking. He scared me. By the time he died, his eyes were calcified into gray, matte orbs. He had to try. Every blink. Why didn't I talk to him? I forced myself to ignore every intruder. Doctors, nurses, catheters, and needles. The tear and the beat were all I knew. Until I heard a familiar voice. And felt her familiar touch.
I'm here, boss. I'm right here.
Carol Lee took my hand and held it long enough for me to notice. Her hand in mine.
I can't believe you're like this. Your hair's a mess. Your skin looks terrible. Are you in there? guess not. You'd never let yourself go like this.
Her words tore into me.
If you're in there, do something. Anything. I'm listening.
The stroke had weakened me. I tried to squeeze my hands on the beat, but I could not. There was one thing I controlled. I beat in rhythm, spacing them out. Three short, three long, three short. S.O.S. I had seen Jodie Foster do this in the 2002 film Panic Room. Kara Lee stirred at the odd rhythm of the heart monitor. She listened hard. Yes, Kara Lee. Do you hear it? She ran to the door.
Nurse? Nurse! Hurry in here, quick!
My mind quickly turned to Salvation. She would find someone to teach me Morse code. They would decode my dictums, and all would be within my command again. Help! Help was on the way.
What is it?
The nurse said.
His heart. It keeps slowing down and speeding up.
I performed the trick again, and the nurse's jaw went slack. Yes, listen.
Dr. Prival to room 522 immediately. We have a violent heart arrhythmia.
In seconds, a team of four ran into the room. I tried my trick again, but the doctor didn't hear the coded message.
Get the defib, we're losing him,
Dr. Prival shouted. Kara Lee began to sob as needles jammed my arms. JL slicked my chest.
Charging?
I wanted to scream. I wanted to tell them it's not out of control. I command it. It's under...
Clear!
My body jolted with electricity, and all was pain and silent. I waited for the beat to start on its own accord. Kara Lee's sobs increased. The monitor maintained its flat line. I felt death creep into me, puddle blood in my cavities. Beat. Please. I gave it everything I could. Each beat exhausted me. I thought about how stars die. They live their whole lives fighting the force of gravity. They expend their mass slowly, burning their own insides as fuel against an unstoppable force. When they finally sacrifice every piece they have, they collapse. God, how long could I keep beat? I abandoned rage. I gave up despair. I just beat. Hours passed. I paid no mind. I just beat. A day passed. 2 days. I just beat. I recalled somewhere between the beats, my mother. She couldn't sweat. She was in charge of mowing the lawn. Dad had allergies. Me, I didn't go outside. I'd watch her through the window. Each row back to the house, her face would burn redder and redder. After an hour, she'd come inside, skin blazing to the touch, but shirt dry as bone. Yet I recalled another night, years later. We waited for a phone call about her biopsy results, and I remembered the stains spreading under her armpits. not the product of her body, but her mind. A voluntary body. Guess it ran in the family. I stopped wanting. I stopped thinking. I stopped. And the world went on around me. One day, warm hands rubbed my skin. I grew warm. I grew sudsy. A bath. They were gentle. They were kind. I cried because I had never known love. A janitor cleaned the room every day after visiting hours. He spoke in another language on the phone. I learned the way he spoke, the pauses in his laughs, though I knew none of the words. He spoke to his children on the phone every single day. After Mom's funeral, I never talked to my father again. I didn't call him, and he sure as hell didn't call me. I made sure of it. The night I left, we had dinner at Carlos O'Kelly's. I got drunk, lost control of myself. I can't remember what I called my father, but it was enough that he never called back. What did I see in that old life of mine? I stayed in a perfect peace until the day I smelled my father. He was with Carolee. They came inside my room. I heard their voices.
Look at him. That's not my son.
They say his brain scans show some activity, but nothing near a normal person.
My father sighed.
He's not in there.
You think?
He's not angry. He's peaceful.
I heard my father crying. I heard Carolee crying.
I don't want to pull the plug on my own son.
But he'll never be happy like this.
I know.
Look. He's crying.
It was because I had never known who they saw.
Do you want me to do it?
Carolee, no.
Could you?
Of course.
I heard them embrace.
I'll tell the doctor we're ready.
They walked out of the room. I heard the door close, and I skipped a beat. I couldn't let them take away the beauty I had found. Panic returned. I'm going to die. I lost the beat. Desire crept back into my heart. The desire to live. Minutes passed. Every beat felt like it could be my last, unless I stopped them. I heard Carolee walking. I made a choice. When she opened the door, I mustered my will. Every ounce of life remaining, I expanded my chest and prepared my tongue. I shot up. I opened my eyes and shouted as loud as I could, "Don't kill me!" Two. The janitor. He tapped the side of his headset. my vision pinholed. He asked a question in another language. My blood turned to jelly. God damn it. Kara. The story must be told.
Groovy story, Brother Reed. Super crispy, but I am still amped up, and I can feel my heartbeat in my little brown.
Well, there's nothing you can do but sweat it out.
Well, I mean, there is something we can
nope,
do.
Nope, don't even
say it. Sister Callista, you know, maybe we could reverse the Crocroa daytime capsules if we take just a little bit of dust.
No one is taking any Crocroa PM, okay?
Aww.
Last time you guys got rocked on Crocroa PM, I had to bail you and Leonardo DiCaprio out of jail. The trades had a frickin' field day.
Okay, well, what if we only took one?
Just one.
Just one. Wash down with a pipe and hot Crocroa.
And then it's right to bed. Otherwise, Sister Callista, you're going to have to babysit us all night. You're going to have to hear us talk about our ideas.
We'll only take one.
Fine. If it means you'll get out of my hair.
Yeah!
But just one, okay? Hand to story?
Hand to story.
All right, but go to the bathroom first. I don't want to mess like last time. Now run along upstairs, boys, and brush each other's teeth. Chop chop now, on the double.
Thank you, Sister Callista.
Oh, you're the best mom ever.
You're the mommy I always
Oh, those boys. Whatever will I do with them?
Thank you for listening to This Story Must Be Told. This morning, I ate a phone book. Oh, hot dang, the holidays are coming up. So why don't you swing over to topatoco.com, TOPATOCO.com, and pick up some merch. When I ate the phone book, I started with the yellow pages. I just burped and it tasted like the number for Zeke's Glass and Auto Body. Oh yeah, baby. Over there at Topatoco, you can get a Crocroa mug, or a pin, or a flippin' shirt. I made sure to eat all the entries of people who died before the phone book was published. The phone numbers were yummy, but they tasted like sorrow. We're on social media, no doy. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TSMBTPod. The clergy is on Twitter too, but it's up to you to find them. In the phone book, there were seven men named Aaron Smith, and I ate them all at once, and now they're brothers in my gullet. We'll be back in two weeks with a brand new story. But if you've subscribed to our Patreon, we have a brand new exclusive 522 Club podcast coming out next Tuesday. Subscribe before then and plump on it. Ooh, that phone book gave me a taste for names and numbers. Next, I'm gonna eat a fucking Rolodex. Forget about it!
Spittle. Okay.
I got distracted and now I have to hop back in like I never even fucking missed a beat. Good, I'm a professional baby. Again, gotta change my diaper, you fucking perv. Ooh, 1-800, who's a cop? Me. 1-800, who's a cop? This is for outtakes. Use this. It was funny. It was pretty funny.
This story must be told.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.